Here's a guy who's very familiar with getting starts in at the major league level. He's one of our favorites. Good Canadian boy, longtime MLB pitcher. See him and hear him on the Marquee Network as an analyst. Here's Ryan Dempster joining us back here on Overdrive. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, great, guys. How we doing?
We're doing well, thank you.
Ryan, what do you think the expectation? We've been talking, and it's kind of a, I mean, it is a disappointing conversation when we're talking about a guy who's, I believe, he started the All-Star game, didn't he, last year?
Alec Manoah. Well, he was mic'd up at it.
Oh, yeah, talking about punchies and this and that, and now we're wondering if he can get through three or four. What are your expectations of him tonight?
I think it's hard, man. Like, you know, look at what he had to do from a physical standpoint last year compared to, you know, where he was in previous years. And we just sometimes forget that kind of taxing on a body. I'm not saying somebody's hurt. It doesn't necessarily mean hurt. Like, I remember going into 2000, and I jumped to 226 innings. And then the next year, start out the year, things are going fine, and all of a sudden it was just like somebody pulled an e-brake.
So are you saying there's some fatigue involved with Manoah, or what? I don't understand what you mean.
Yeah, 100% I think there is. And I think what happens is when we're fatigued, we get underneath the baseball a little bit, then pitches aren't quite as crisp. Maybe we lose a mile an hour or two on our fastball. Our breaking ball doesn't quite bite like it used to. And then we start scrambling to try and figure out all these different ways to fix it. And it's hard to fix it in the moment. And, you know, it's just a reality, right? Like, he went from throwing, you know, 111 innings to 196 innings plus the playoffs. You know, that's a big jump. That's almost doubling your innings. And, like, you know, if you go across the board and you look at, like, his career high in the minor leagues, like, he just didn't throw a lot. You know, there was 2019 with 17 innings, and 2020 is the COVID year, and then all of a sudden it's like 2021, you got 18 years innings in the minor leagues and 119 in the big leagues. Like, that's just a lot, you know, and when it's your first time. And so there becomes this shortening of stuff, and then you just have to figure out a way to continue to grind through it and get better physically. I don't know if that's a 10-day stint or a 15-day stint of just, like, getting a little rest. You know, it's a reality, right? Like, we want to sit there and point to all these different things, but reality is there's this huge innings increase on something that, like, and you take that from the years before and the year before that, like, it's a lot. Like, you had a lockout. You had all these different things that kind of play into that. I just think I might be wrong. I haven't talked to Alex, so I don't know. But just somebody who's been through it before, I know what it feels like when all of a sudden everything's going great, made the All-Star team, pitched 226 innings, went to Japan, next thing you know, middle of the season in 2002, parachute. Whoa. Why is my ball not doing what it wants to do? You know, I feel fine, but the reality is my arm is not used to this, and so then we want to search for all these answers, but maybe fatigue's a little bit of it, and then you start trying to create new things, and you create bad habits because you're chasing something that you're not accustomed to, and then on top of it, you're taking everything that's coming. Every day, this poor kid, and I'm not calling him a poor kid because I get it, he's getting paid millions of dollars. He gets hammered all the time, man, and everybody's got a reason why, and he's got 20 pitching coaches in his ear, and people say, well, don't listen to the media. Cool, man. He knows the questions that are being asked. He gets asked them on a daily basis. So I think it's just a lot, and he's got to find a way to just find some sort of peace and reset a little bit, and maybe that's a little bit of time off. And don't take it as an insult, and don't take it as something that is negative. Take it as a thing that you can use to make you a little bit better.
Ryan, if you were tasked with the responsibility of considering Manoah's long-term and short-term health and benefits of playing baseball, what would you do with him as far as what he should be doing and where he should do it?
Yeah, I would give him a breather. And like, it's hard, right? Because you can't do that. Like, if you do,
what does a breather look like? Does it take 2 weeks off or what?
Yeah, just, you know, maybe it's like, a fatigue and you go on the IL. Nobody wants to do that, right? If I could tell my younger self a couple different times, you know, as I got older, I'm like, yeah, every old guy should get like a two-start skip, you know. But even as a young guy, there was times where I thought I was helping. I don't want to miss my turn in the rotation, and I'm helping the team, but also there was fatigue there. And it's all part of it. You're balancing this thing, but this kid's future is bright. He's going through it right now. He's on the struggle bus, and you got to figure out a way to get through that struggle bus and figure out a way Because ultimately, the team wants to win, right? Like, it's not a demotion of the bullpen. That does nothing. Like, this kid is a starting pitcher. He's got the ability to be a starting pitcher. He just needs to figure out how to get through it. I've been there, man. I've been exactly where he's at. I've been at the start of the season after a month in 2010 or 2011. I was the worst pitcher in baseball. This is a true story. I picked up. I had my morning breakfast after a start in Arizona, and I went to go use the commode because I had to go to the bathroom. I sat on that thing, and I read the paper, and I was the last guy on the ERA qualifiers, 9.6. I sucked. I was the worst. I couldn't get out. I'd go out there and get rocked. I struggled. And you just figure out a way. You keep working hard. You keep looking, make adjustments, whatever you got to do. He's going to be all right because this guy is a fighter. He's a first-round pick. He's got all the tools in the world. He's just going through a tough time right now.
So were you mapping out your plan while you're still in the washroom, like after reading the 966 immediately?
Can you enjoy a dump reading those numbers or not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, it was bad, guys. Like, you thought what was coming out was bad. What was going through my brain was worse. You know?
Well, you put it together.
It was looking a lot like what was down in there. That wasn't a pretty performance. And then I go out in L.A. 5 days later to go start, and I walk the first two batters on 8 pitches. Where do I go from there? My catcher, Giovanni Soto, comes up to the mound, said some things that had nothing to do with baseball. Zero. He didn't mention anything to do with baseball. And I turned to him. I was like, what? Like, I kind of snapped on him. I can't say them on air because I'll get canceled. But I just said, what? Like, are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, double play ball is good. And then he left. And I just got a double play ball. And then I got out of the inning. And then I go 7 innings, give up 1 run. And next thing you know, I went on a little bit of a tear. It can be something that simple. Get away from all of this baseball stuff and realize you're not curing cancer out there. You're just making pitches and you're trying to win a baseball game. But it's hard. It's hard to have fun when you suck. And that's the reality. But he's going to be okay. He's going to get through this because he's strong enough. He's strong enough mentally. Eventually something's going to click. You know, and maybe he's the guy at the end of the season that's carving guys up and helping this rotation.
What is the weirdest thing you've heard on the mound? Was that it? I mean, is there conversations, like you say, sometimes when things are stressful? Like, do guys come up and just try and, you know, break the stress? Is that a regular practice? Or, you know, have you had a skip come up and say something weird?
Yeah, no, I've had all kinds of stuff. You know, like, I remember my high school coach coming out one time. I'd just blown a perfect game. You know, I'm sitting there. We were playing White Rock. I blew a perfect game on a bunt back to me. I overthrew the first baseman. Then I lost my no-hitter the next batter. I was kind of frazzled, and he just walked out to the mound. He just said, Ryan, remember, no matter where you go, there you are. And then he turned around and walked away. And I was like, whoa, okay, I'll take that. You know, Mike Redmond, the bench coach of the Colorado Rockies, he's a great catcher. He was really good at the mental side. And I was frazzled one time. I couldn't. I was just struggling, and nothing was going. I wasn't getting rocked, but it just wasn't going right. I was cutting balls. I was trying to throw sinkers. They weren't sinking. It was just. And I was. He comes up to the mound, and I'm like, "Rad, man, this is happening. This is good. This can't. I can't get my breaking ball over for a strike." And he just goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! Calm down, dude. I just came out here to figure out where we were going to drink Bud Lights after the game." And I was just like, oh, yeah, I don't know, where do you want to go? And then next thing you know, we get out of it, and we're enjoying some cold ones afterwards. So, yeah, like, it's not always serious. Sometimes it needs to be, you need to, like, we're little kids out there sometimes, and the catchers are the parents who need to, instead of telling us what to do, they just need to, like, redirect us. And Mike Redmond was as good as anybody at that.
Ryan, who is the best consumer of Bud Lights after a game, after a big victory in Major League Baseball?
History, no, I mean, it was Miller Lite, Wade Boggs, nothing like it. I mean, the stories are true, guys. The cross-country flight from Tampa to Seattle where he drank 70 beer and didn't even use the bathroom. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That's like the kicker, man, when you don't use the can. Like, you get a salute like no other if you don't go to the can.
Is he wearing Depends? Did he have a catheter? Like, how did he do that, you know? I drink two and I got to go. I'm one in, one out. Like, that's how I got to go. It's just the way it is. My dad gave me a small bladder. Like, you know, it's genetics. But, you know, I don't know. Like, Wade Boggs, hands down, I mean, the stories are true. You know, he talked about it. It's legit, you know. And, you know, hats off. Not only could he hit line drives over everywhere, a diet of beer and chicken.
That's what's wild about him, man. Like, 3,000 hits. and all he ate was chicken parms and crushing beers. Like, that beer to washroom ratio has to be in the Hall of Fame. That's got to be the greatest of all time, right? It's
got to
be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he simplified it pretty good. You know, obviously, he talks about he learned a lot from the, you know, Ted Williams' book about hitting and, you know, a tough out, didn't strike out, hit line drives everywhere, hit home runs when he wanted to, like his 3,000th hit, you know, he wanted it to be a home run. You know, pretty special. And then good luck, man. If you're playing flip cup or a game of quarters, you're losing.
Yeah. That guy's going to live until he's 107, too. You just know it. Wade Boggs will be around forever.
On his license, it says blood type. It says light beer.
With Ryan Dempster. The Jays, you know, they're starting to get it together. And, you know, Manoah obviously is it's on the more pessimistic side of things, and that's just a fact. He hasn't pitched well. But we were talking about Berríos prior to having you on. I know we've had you on a lot the last year and a half. Talking about Jose Berríos, and the chats we're having about Manoah today were the ones basically carbon copy we were having about Berríos last year, and he's really put it together. And, I mean, as a former pitcher yourself, you just spoke about all the different, you know, opportunities you had to prove your perseverance. What can you say about this guy? He got all that money. He had a horrible year last year, but Berríos is really starting to give him something. He's got his ERA down to 3.66.
Yeah, and like we were having those same conversations early on in the season, right?
Right.
Like not even last year. It started out again this year. He gets, you know, his first start of the year at Kansas City, gets hit around against the Angels, and he starts the year and he looks, you know, his ERA is up near 2 touchdowns, and he's fought his way, and that's what it's all about. Like, I think that's the pride we have as starting pitchers. You know, that as long as you're healthy, you're going to make 30 to 32 starts, and how do you handle that? Like, you just curl up in a ball when you have a rough couple starts to start the season, or somewhere in the year when you get rocked a little bit? Nope. You know, like, you know, and even like he got on a hot streak and then, you know, beginning of May goes to Fenway Park, gets hit around by the Red Sox, division rival, right back on the horse, you know, and that just shows you how quick things can turn around. Sometimes it's mechanical, sometimes it's mental, sometimes it's just, you know, you're not locating where you think is acceptable, right? You're like, oh, you know, that was a good pitch, and then you go watch it on video and you're like, nah, it really wasn't that good of a pitch. You know, there's not too many times you execute where guys are roping it around. So good for him for settling in, because he's there for the long haul, and they need that, right? With Gausman and him, and you need Manoah, and you need these guys, Kikuchi, to step up and be a part of a good rotation. So yeah, good for him for figuring out what wasn't working and changing it, and then going out there and executing. And there's a lot more strikes. And then when you do that, there becomes a lot more chase with your breaking ball. Instead of nibbling on the corners, falling behind the count, I just see him filling up the strikes and a lot more.
With Ryan Dempster, we saw Vladdy, you know, go on a tear again down in New York. There's something about that city. He hates the Yankees. Like, every time he's in New York playing the Yankees, he makes it abundantly clear to their media, I'm never signing here. Ever. I don't like it here. I won't sign
something
here.
Something happened with his dad.
Something. There has to be some history there. And I'm sure the Mets are like, well, what the hell did we do to you? Like, what did we do to Vladdy Sr.? Why are you coming in here and hitting big bombs and big hits in the ninth? And he has not hit a home run, though, at the Rogers Center yet this year, which is one of the stranger statistical anomalies. But I'm sure you pitched against his dad. You know, you've been watching him now for years. Where are you at with Vladdy? Because once he gets hot again, and it appears as if it's starting to heat up, like, he is still a clear-cut game changer, isn't he?
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. You know, and like you said, like, he kind of fell into this lull, you know, the last 30 games, just 4 home runs, one of those was a grand slam off Luke Rayleigh, or I think it was
in Tampa. After he struck him out the previous inning.
Yeah, so you know, you have a situation where he just, you know, wasn't hitting for the power, and then you know, you talk to hitters, you see it in them. They start chasing that, and you know, he's kind of started to square the ball up again. And this is the kind of guy offensively that can carry your ball club for 10 days, 2 weeks, just because he's so dangerous. And when all of a sudden it starts looking big to him, it's like, oh, look out! And then you got Bo in front of him, and it just becomes this juggernaut of an offense. But he's a lot like his dad. You know, when his dad got hot, it was scary, because you go in these meetings and you'd have pitcher meetings and you'd be like, oh, just, you know, don't throw him a strike breaking ball. Cool. I threw him a slider that bounced in the other batter's box and he pulled it for a hole. He pulled it for a base hit in the hole. Like, it doesn't matter. I watched him take Scott Williamson on a fastball up and away, Vlad Sr., that after getting dusted, he threw it right center field, and this pitch was not even close to being a strike. And Vladdy Jr. is that kind of kid, man. When he gets going and he gets offensively gets hot, every day it's that 2-for-4, 3-for-4, 1-for-3, with a lot of OPS in there, doubles, homers. So, yeah, getting hot like that in New York, maybe that's just a little thing that sparks him, and now he gets locked in.
Yeah, it's go time tonight with Houston in town. It's going to be a fun series. Manoah on the mound for the Jays. He is a longtime MLB pitcher, good Canadian boy, and you see him on the marquee network. He is Ryan Dempster. Always great catching up with you, Ryan. We appreciate all the stories and all the time, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. Great to be on with you. Take
care. There he is, Ryan Dempster.